Let's just get into this. It's the news, according to me. Good morning. It is Friday once again. Like every week at this time, Friday rolls around. I don't know if you ever noticed that or not. I've only been alive for about 60 years, and I've just noticed that about every time of the week, every time this week, around this time every week, I guess I should say, Friday pops up. And everybody wonders, what's in my cup? It pops up, and what's in my cup? That's kind of what the question is. It is April 29th, almost at the end of the month here. We are almost at the end of the week. Shabbat Shalom to you. We have, the year is about half over almost. And where has it gone? It's more expensive now than it was at the beginning of the year, but that's, I digress. We have May coming up very shortly. May is another month with a lot of Fridays in it. And we'll experience all those, hopefully together. I'm not sure how many, but I do have several Fridays kind of off, more or less. However, not really off. I do have to travel on some. The month of May is going to be a little bit stressful for me. Got a lot going on and a lot to get done, to say the least. However, what is in my cup this morning? I've got my little special cup this morning. It's one of the ones I practiced on for making my little sailboat cups. It's my Hesed cup. Or as you would say in Hebrew, Chesed. Yeah. Always clears up my throat when I say that. Which just means loving kindness or the goodness of God, but it's that kind of thing. That's the name of my boat, Chesed, spelled C-H-E-S-E-D, Chesed, loving kindness, kind of the all-encompassing goodness of God, sort of, I have milk, I have hot milk and honey in my cup. It is a caffeine-free drink, rather sweet, no sugar other than the honey. It's actually pretty good. I mean, I've actually kind of grown accustomed to this. It's not chocolate milk. It's just regular milk. But it actually is, I kind of like it. Because it is hot. It's sweet enough that it goes down okay. I don't think it's good for my throat, though. I think just regular tea with honey would be better for my throat. But because the milk is kind of kind of coats your throat a little bit. It's a little bit too much. However, let's move on to something else. I have here in my, I don't use paper when I do my show. I have this particular thing queued up here. We'll listen to this. Joe Biden said something that, when I heard him say this, there was a pundit that was this Sky News Australia, listening to them, the Kenny Report. I was listening to it this morning. Of course, now they're on the other side of the clock, so all their news cycle goes during the night, and then when I wake up in the morning, I've got all this stuff from Sky News Australia. It's all fresh and new to me. BCP, Black Conservative Patriot, the open source news guy. he's excellent as well. He does some pretty good stuff. He has some. He had some reports as well that I was listening to this morning. He does some late night stuff now. Late night, early morning. Like 1 o'clock in the morning, some type stuff. It's pretty good. As far as some of the stuff he puts together, there was and interestingly enough, he kind of puts, you have to kind of put some things in perspective sometimes. And when you have a guy with a computer, a guy like Mark Dice, for instance, a guy with a laptop in his kitchen, it's a little more extensive than that. He's got a little nicer setup than that. But that's basically what he's got. He hasn't invested $1 million in his outfit there. I'd be surprised if he's even I bet he doesn't even have $100,000 in his camera equipment, everything else he has. I would seriously doubt that. Maybe not even $10,000. By the time you get a computer and some microphones and some cameras, he might have 10 grand. Now, however, he has millions of subscribers. I haven't noticed him on YouTube here recently. He might have been. He gets booted off a lot. He gets his videos get. What they do is when their video comes out, here's the trick that YouTube plays, and this is why I think Elon needs to just buy YouTube as well. He just needs to buy Google. Just go ahead and buy Google. Get it over with. The YouTube, the way they do things is you put out a video, and within the first, especially in current event shows where the current, it's you know, people don't want to watch a show about something that happened, you know, the daily events that happened a year ago necessarily. Sometimes they want to look up something or reference something. But the bulk of the clicks and the bulk of the hits are going to be on a video that's put out. If you have a couple million subscribers, a vast majority of those are going to click on the video, watch the video, and then they're not going to watch it again. They're just going to watch it one time, or they might go back and watch, you know, certain clips of it. So the initial peak where you're going to get a million views on something, or hundreds of thousands of them, is within the first 24 to 48 hours. So what YouTube does is they demonetize it immediately and say, this video is under review. So they demonetize it. Then you have to file for a grievance, basically, to get it back. Oh, okay, we're going to reinstate the video. We're going to remonetize the video. And now you're only going to get, you know, another 10,000 hits or whatever instead of the millions of hits that you would have gotten before, or hundreds of thousands, or whatever it would have been. So they trick the whole system by doing that to you, and then you lose. You're never going to get those clicks back. Now, what is sad is that even though they have demonetized it, they still run advertising on it. But they're not going to pay you for that. They take that money. It is criminal. I mean, in terms of just the sheer morality of it is just absolutely criminal. But they, of course, there's not necessarily a law against it. This is where they get called before Congress to ask a bunch of questions. Oh, we're calling you out. We're going to ask you a bunch of questions. And they just sit there and go, well, I don't know. I guess the algorithm, well, it happens to everybody. Right and left happens to everybody. And, oh, we're sorry. This is just the technology is so difficult for us to manage. And, oh, sorry. And they get away with it. They call him up there every other day, it seems like. I see, of course, now Jack Dorsey doesn't have to do that anymore because he's, you know, he got rid of Twitter, and now, of course, Twitter's being bought by Elon. It'll be interesting when they call Elon Musk up in front of Congress. I don't know, has he ever been before Congress? Probably has. Anyway. Of course, the left has turned on him. And Dr. Oz, who was born from the leftists, and I don't think he's actually a real Republican. I think he's at best a moderate Democrat, if that. And they've turned on him because he decided to run as a Republican. Of course, that's just, you know, now you're a racist and you're, you know, the list of names, you know, that gets tagged onto you because you're Republican. He's actually now come out and said Joe Biden needs a cognitive test. I don't think he's actually said it. I think he said his followers deserve a cognitive test or something to that effect. I don't think it was actually him who said he's not recommending a cognitive test. Let me see if I can pull up my subscriptions here. I think because I just saw it this morning. See if I can find his face here. And now my dogs are barking again. I've let them out twice now. They're barking again because I got home last night. They haven't seen me for over 5 days, and of course, before that, they only saw me for like two before I had to leave again. And now they're like, come up here and play with us. It's time for you to come up here and play with us. Yeah, I don't see. It was before that. No, I don't see it now anywhere. pretty sure he had. I thought it was this morning, but maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was just something I saw below a video somewhere. Maybe I can find it with a search. We'll just look for it that way. Sorry, I'm just kind of dozing off here onto Dr. Oz cognitive. Let's see what it has to say here. Do memory boosters. Most Americans desire a cognitive test for Biden, according to Dr. Oz. Now, notice that Dr. Oz is not saying that he's recommending a cognitive test for Biden. These people are very careful with their words. And this leads me to the reason I'm bringing this up. Some people believe that Bill Barr is a friend of the Republic, that he is somehow a friend of conservatives. He's not. He's an establishment guy. He's an establishment politician. In fact, he is a politician. He's a bureaucrat, with the worst kind of politician. He's the kind who's not elected by the people. He's elected. He's put in place and given power by the people, the powers that be, which are the establishment individuals who have placed him there because of their own. Political operatives and movements. He was interviewed by Sean Spicer recently and on Newsmax, and it's disturbing. Sean starts to call him out on things about the 2020 election and things like that, and Bill brings up all these comments and states. He comes up with all these numbers that are absolutely, abjectly false. But he just throws this stuff out. This is where we're heading right now. And when he's confronted with the fact that, both these politicians, they said one thing, they did this, and they did. Well, politicians lie. Oh, well, you are a politician. This point was made by BCP this morning. And you might as well just say people lie, and you might as well just say, Bill Barr, you are included in all those categories, and you can lie too. There's no reason why we should believe for a second that you don't have a motive in any of this, or that you're not getting some kind of, he came out with a book. You realize he wrote a book, and that's why he's been, all of a sudden he's been in the news. Fox News has had him on, and all these people have had him on. And he's Mr. Nice Guy now to the Republicans Party, and it's just because he's talking about stuff. I think his book was entitled, I'm not even going to say what it is. I'm not going to mention it for a couple of reasons. I'm not going to say what his book name is. He put this book out, so he goes on this book tour. Of course now he's all of a sudden he's being interviewed by all these people, which is fine. I don't mind him being interviewed. I hope that they can call him out on some of the things that they need to be calling him out on, because, quite frankly, he's been very deceptive in his answers, in my opinion, because he's a bureaucrat. He called him out on these 50 or 51 people, or however many there were, former intelligence individuals who said that the Hunter laptop story has all the earmarks of a Russian disinformation campaign. He said, well, there's none that I know of. He's one of anybody he knows. Really, you don't know Clapper. You don't know Brennan. You don't know any of these individuals that were the heads of these organizations. Comey. You didn't know any of those people. Comey's been in the FBI for decades. He was there. He was in the FBI when Barr was DOJ before Trump. Yeah. Bill Barr was a mole. Bill Barr was an insider with the establishment, and he was recommended by other insiders around Trump, the people who were giving him all this advice. He was deceived. Trump was absolutely surrounded by people who did not have his or the country's best in mind. They had their power-hungry establishment in mind. Interestingly enough, there's such a smattering of stuff going on right now. The whole thing surrounding, you know, Elon Musk. Now, this has been going on now for about a month, how he's been threatening to buy Twitter. Over a month. All of a sudden, as he is able to secure the financing and actually make this happen, all of a sudden, under the TSA, Homeland Security, they announced that they're going to have a disinformation czar. And what is it called? It's called what are they going to call this thing? I can't remember what it was called. I think I got it here somewhere. Basically, it's the Ministry of Truth. If you ever read the book 1984, you will see that this wasn't supposed to be a how-to book. And yet that's where they're going. Like Rules for Radicals and 1984 is kind of like the foretelling of everything that we're seeing. And this, you know, in fact, strangely enough, the book 1984 was written way before 1984. You have to understand that. By 1984, all this stuff was supposed to happen. Well, by 1984, all this stuff was, it was basically the technology for all this stuff was put in place, interestingly enough. But it's all being fleshed out now. Oh, where is it? Are you telling me it's already out of the news cycle? It could be. It could very well be out of the news cycle already. Where is it here? It's the minister. I can't remember what they're calling it now. Biden administration forms disinformation governance board. Disinformation governance board. That's what they're calling it. So they have this lady in charge of it, and she's actually an absolute freak. This lady's off. She's unhinged. Now they're claiming that this is all about border security and everything that's being talked about the border. We need to protect the border, so we have to have this grievance board or governance board, disinformation governance board. Because, you know, all of a sudden Twitter is not because they're going to allow free speech. All of a sudden now it's all disinformation now, and Twitter's ruined. Because they're going to allow anybody to say anything they want to. Like it used to be. Which is what made Twitter what it is. But all of a sudden, Twitter became a political weapon on the left. And you see, because it's theirs, because they own it, they think that it's okay. As long as you're along with their message, you're fine. You know, disinformation is only what someone else says about what you're lying about. It's just one of those weird things. It looks like apparently. I wonder if my for some reason my computer is on the wrong Wi-Fi this morning. I don't know why that is. Probably because the other Wi-Fi was... Yeah, okay, I'm going to switch back over there. The continuation of what happens with all this bureaucracy and everything that's going on, and the fact that the Twitterdom, I think people out there in Twitterland, They tend to their heads are popping off. They're saying that now all of a sudden it's only the straight white males that are going to have a voice on Twitter all of a sudden. No, the fact actually is, it's just the only fact that remains is just that they do have a voice now. They were the ones being discriminated against. They were the ones being shut out on Twitter. If you try to oppose an idea, all of a sudden you're a racist, you're a misogynist. You know, with just facts and information, if you even just share facts, seriously, just like a fact of something, that you they'll call you a racist. They won't oppose you with an idea or come back with any other particular numbers or facts of their own. You may have facts, but we have the truth. We choose truth over facts, I think is what Biden said at one point. We choose truth over facts. That's a weird statement to make. Speaking of weird statements, and I've been hesitating to play this. It's been kind of on the back of my head, my mind here, back of my head, back of my mind here the whole morning. The first time I heard this, I was shocked. And this was on Sky News Australia on the Kenny Report this morning. And I'm going to try to play this without having any of their background. So hopefully I can just play just the clip of this and it will come through okay. I'll let it speak for itself. This was Joe Biden talking at some kind of speech, and I don't know. Let's just play the audio here.
That will enhance our underlying effort to accommodate the Russian oligarchs and make sure we take their ill-begotten gains. We're going to accommodate them. We're going to seize their yachts, their luxury homes, and other ill-begotten gains of Putin's kleptocracy and the guys who are the kleptocracies. But these are bad guys.
This is the guy running our country right now, supposedly. And we're supposed to feel okay about this guy. We're supposed to feel better about this guy than the mean tweets from Trump. On so many levels, this bothers me. This really bothers me. I heard this morning when I heard him say that when I heard this speech. Without even blinking my eyes, that I just felt my eyes watering up and actually tears started to run down my face. For several different reasons. This strikes a little close to home. And for those of you who've been through this with a loved one, you know, you understand what I'm talking about. My mother is really struggling right now. She's going into dementia and Alzheimer's issues. And she, it's becoming very difficult. We had her in a memory care facility. The memory care facility was purchased by another health system that is not a licensed memory care facility, and they don't want to deal with memory care patients. They just want to have people just be in wheelchairs. They can wheel them around and do whatever, not have to deal with them. My mother is almost 90 years old. She's 80-something, upper 80s. I can't remember. I think she's 87. She's either just turned 87 or she just turned 88. I can't even remember. It's terrible of me. And she still gets around like a teenager. That's the problem. They say, well, she wanders. Well, yeah, she's... Give her a broom, she'll sweep the whole place down in about 5 minutes. But that's a problem for them because they can't keep up with her. And when they try to corral her and tell her what to do and push her around, she won't have anything of it. She doesn't like it. I wouldn't like it either. they're trying to be compassionate about it in some degree, but to some degree, but they're also, there's this issue of respect and dignity and all those kinds of things that you have to deal with. And I think that one thing leads to another. Now, that being said, that's what we're going through right now as a family. However, when I see this happening, and recognizing where this is going to go. Now, I've said for a long time, I didn't think Joe was going to make it to the end of the year. They must be giving him some very special drugs. They got him on something very special to keep him juiced up and working. I'm sure money and expenses, no issue, and he's probably all on all kinds of stuff. And that being said, they've been able to prop him up for a long time, a lot longer than I thought. This has gone months further than what I thought. However, from what I understand from looking into some of these memory enhancement treatments and some of the things that they can do to kind of prolong a person's health, mental health, and to some degree, these very same things will cause a much more rapid decline and crash later on, because the cognitively below the surface, there's still things degenerating, and it's just a matter of how long those medications can continue to stave off the issue. At some point, they become less effective, and everything just kind of goes downhill very quickly. I think that we are about to witness that, and unfortunately, now Donald Trump was being interviewed by Piers Morgan, and I'm going to get back to that whole thing, because it's interesting that when BCP was pointing this out this morning, now we have an administration right now that's very weak. It's not being led by anybody who is actually a leader. Joe Biden's not a leader, by the way. If you want to see the definition of a leader, it's not Joe Biden. Joe Biden is following someone else's instructions. He is Joe Cool. He likes the position, but he has no business. He has no idea what he's doing there. He likes all the perks and playing the big dog and getting all the accolades and pretending like, oh, I'm Mr. Important. Look how important I am because I'm Joe Biden. That's the only reason he's important. It's not because he's done anything. Name one thing Joe Biden has accomplished in his life that's actually remarkable. That he created or he did or that he produced. I defy you to find something. In fact, he claims, he was claiming on the campaign trail at one point that he was number one in his class, and he was, you know, highest, whatever, top five in his class or whatever in college, in the Ivy League college that he went to or whatever it was he did. And in reality, it was not, none of that was true. None of the stuff he claimed was true. He actually, his son Hunter is very similar to him when he was younger, but we'll get into that. So President Trump was being interviewed by Piers Morgan. And Piers tries to make it look in his little clips, as if he was really hitting the president hard with some questions. And Trump was trying to answer with as much as he could without saying too much. There's some things he just can't say. He did let it slip at one point that we have weapons that are bigger than you can imagine. My understanding, he basically let it slip that Russia could be no more. If we wanted to eliminate Russia right now, we could. Well, and I don't know about the current fortitude of what we have in our military, but basically at the push of a button, at the command of certain individuals, Russia would be gone. It's the willingness to, It's that whole thing of, you know, we're willing to work with you. We're willing to negotiate with you and talk to you. But this is what can happen if you don't want to behave. If you think for a minute that you're going to undercut us or undermine us or try to destroy us, you're going to be gone. Step out of line. You do something wrong, you're done. Sorry. You know, we'll let you do whatever you want to do over there, but it's once you encroach beyond that point, you're messing with us. We're not going to do it. We're not putting up with it. So we have that power. And it was very clear from this interview that Trump was biting his tongue as much as he can and not letting, letting everybody know, hey, we shouldn't be allowing these people to push us around. Well, we shouldn't necessarily be pushing them around, but we certainly shouldn't be kowtowing. In fact, he used that term, kowtowing to these people on the left, the people who are the world bullies out there right now. What is the mentality? I guess I'm trying to figure this out. They're more intensely bombing Kiev or Kyiv, whatever you want to call it. And I'm trying to understand how this is going to end well for Russia. Okay, so let's say they bomb the daylights out of Kiev. They establish a new government there. What do you do? What do you do with a country that you just destroyed? You're literally bombing the infrastructure. You're destroying their fabric of their nation. You're turning all the people against you. You're killing family members and friends and all these individuals who are dying in this battle, being killed and maimed. What are you going to do with that country when you're done? How do you put that back together again and make a coalition of anybody in that country? Okay, now we've rescued you now. We've saved you from this evil ruler that was here and all the things, the evil things that they were doing. And you guys, because you guys were about to attack us, that's why we had to come in here and do this. Really? Okay, so how's that going to work out for you now on the world stage? And how's that going to work out for you in Ukraine, of all places? What do you think is going to happen now? Either you're going to leave and walk out and say, okay, we've done our job now. We've leveled them now. We're going to walk out. And now there's nothing but a vacuum there for worse things to happen, i.e. Iraq, Afghanistan. Or are you going to just continue to go, to keep going? Now they've cut off fuel supplies to Poland and somewhere else. I can't remember where else. They're shutting down, fuel supplies to other places. This is escalating. This is not de-escalating. This is not even compromising or demilitarizing. This is economic warfare now at this point. And of course, the sanctions are what brought this on. These sanctions that were supposed to, really hurt Putin really bad. That they're not. And he's turned around and started doing his own economic manipulation. He said, we want to play that game, I'll do this game. They're playing checkers. He's playing chess. Or maybe they're all just throwing checkers at each other. I don't know. There's no game here. In the process of this entire thing, one of the things that Trump said that's very alarming and unnerving is he said, we have a very stupid administration. He didn't say that. He didn't use that word. He said, if they're smart, if they're not smart, and they're not, I'm paraphrasing what he said, but it's pretty close. If they're not smart about what they're doing here, we're going to end up in a nuclear war. I have to say he's got a point. And what he was trying to say to Pierce was, you can't use the nuclear word. You have to, they're constantly saying, oh, well, he has nuclear weapons. And I'm not sure exactly. Trump always kind of talks in kind of a cryptic kind of half-sentence type thing. His manner of communication is not that clear to me. And I think that's why the media picks on him and some people don't understand what he's talking about. Because you have to take the whole context of everything he's saying. And I think people want, straight talk, just straight plain English, and that's not what he does. He's got this New York kind of thing where he's in his, just kind of his own little language that he speaks. His way of communicating is different. It's just different. It's not wrong. It's just different. And once you kind of understand where he's going with this, you have to kind of read between the lines of some of the things he says. He's saying what he means. You have to read through the implications of what he's saying. And once you figure that out and you get the spirit of what he's saying, not just what he's saying, but the spirit of what he's saying, it makes complete sense. It's totally sensible and understandable. But they don't like that. Now, with Joe Biden, there's some of that as well. I really appreciated this about Rush Limbaugh one time, because Joe said some stuff that was like, he really was off the wall in the statement that he actually made. And I think, and Rush, to his credit, came back and he said, he had callers who would call in and they would say, well, Joe said this. And Rush actually kind of backed the person up and said, well, do you think he really meant that? Or do you think what he meant to say was this? He just didn't word it properly. And he was giving him some grace in that. And that, to me, shows a huge character, in my opinion, to be able to do that. Because the first thing that we want to do on the left and the right, we tend to want to drive the wedge down deeper and polarize it even further. And here he was diffusing the situation by saying, well, I don't really think he meant to say that. I think what he really meant was this. And as he did that, he kind of diffused the situation. We wanted to have this negative thing we could latch on to and say, oh, look, he said this. Well, that's what he kind of said, but he didn't. You're taking it the wrong way. Much like the left, and I think the example here is that the left goes bat poop crazy when Trump says there were good people on both sides. Well, the only two sides they see are racists and non-racists. There was more than one side here, or more than two sides, I should say. More than two sides. There was more than just the racists and the protesters. There were people protesting the taking down of the statues. There were those who wanted the statues up and those who wanted them down. And then there were the racists and the white supremacists and neo-Nazis. He was condemning them totally. When he said there were good people on both sides, he was talking, and he said, if you just listen to all of his speech instead of just the news clip that the reliable sources want to give you on CNN, if you just listen to their little clip, it makes it sound like he's talking about good people, the racists on both sides. Or the racists were good people as well as theirs. And that's not at all what he said. He condemned them totally. Now, you can do that. You can condemn them if you want to. At the same time, you still have to remember, you still have to reconcile this idea that, yes, but I'm still your president. I'm not your dad. I'm not your parent. I'm not your guardian. I'm here to represent you. Even if you have bad ideas or some philosophies of thought that are wrong, you can't just toss the person completely out. And I think that Trump understands that, and he's trying to get past that and understand there's a person behind these ideas. And just because this person has these ideas doesn't necessarily make them who they are completely, not 100% of who they are. There's plenty of things I disagree with people on, and I can't just define them by what I disagree with them about. There's a whole lot more to them. You start asking them personal questions about their family and about their life and about everything that they're going through. And it's like, see, now we have a lot more we can relate to now. All of a sudden, this person is not so different than me. How they face these struggles and what they do and how they intend to get through them, it may be very different. And I would say, in some cases, that I would say they're wrong. But then again, now we can have that discussion all day long. And hopefully civilly. I have a squeaky chair. So we have these interviews, which are very interesting. And I everything from Bill Barr to Piers Morgan, who... Again, what I want to get back to here is that I guess Piers Morgan, on his first show, I think he's on Fox Nation or whatever, that little side thing that they did. They're just successful with, however, CNN Plus wasn't even, they had 10,000 members. I think they were expecting like a half a million or a million, whatever their break-even point was. You got 10,000 subscribers. Now, you have to understand, BCP... let's just take a look here. Let's see what BCP has. I think that Black Conservative Patient or Black Conservative Patriot. Where is it? I'll find him here real quick. Well, just look at this guy. This guy, Bill the Drone Guy. He probably has more of the subscribers than. Just Laura Ingraham, just on her own, in one show, has 19,000 views. Just on one little clip, four-minute clip from Fox News. She has, 19,000 views, and that was an hour ago. Piers Morgan started with like a half a million people the first night. His second show was like half that. It was like 250,000. His third show was 100,000. He was like exponentially reducing his audience by cutting it in half every night. Let's see if we can find it here. I don't see it here. I think Black Conservative Patriot has I don't know how many hundreds of thousands. Black Conservative Patriot. Let's just put it out here. See what it says. It's taking a lot of time for some reason. Yeah, I don't know what it's doing here. It's going very slow. Somebody else is probably on the computer here this morning. Where is it at? I don't see it here anywhere. Oh, lost the connection. Retry. Yep, so there's something going on here with my internet this morning. I'm not sure what it is. Apparently my T-Mobile is just not working properly. Let's try the other one and see what happens. I think I'm down to my last smidgen of... Yeah, now it's going to work properly. There it goes. Let's just check out and see how many subscribers. This guy has 624,000 subscribers. He has, a lot of views on his videos. He'll get 55,000, almost 100,000 views on some of these. They're usually between 50 and 100,000 views, typically on most of his. So here's a couple with 150,000 views. One show. He does a couple shows a day, so he'll get more views in a day than Piers Morgan was getting on his shows weekly. I'm just putting this into perspective here because Piers Morgan is almost a household word, and he's very well known. And we're deceived by this idea that some of these people are really popular. Well, they're on a major network, so they must be really popular. And actually, no, as the following some of these other people have, it's ridiculous. Now, we stop and think about this. We call the mainstream media CNN, MSNBC. Well, let's just take a look here and see what we have. MSNBC. Let's just look at their channel. If we can. I don't know if it's going to let me or not. For some reason, the whole internet is very slow this morning. That's kind of odd, actually. Kind of strange. I don't know what's going on with that. It's very unusual. Very, very unusual. It's not a normal thing for the. Yeah, let's, okay, so MSNBC, let's just go to MSNBC here. Let's look at their channel, if it will allow me to do so. Yeah, it's not doing it now. It's doing something weird. MSNBC, 4 million subscribers, for almost 5 million subscribers on MSNBC. You would think that's a huge amount. Go look at Fox. See what that has to say about it. Be another whole other interesting. So, well, I'll tell you what. I'll pull up my iPad because it has its own little thing here. We'll just do this. Yeah. I don't want to do that because I already have a search in there. Never mind. Never mind then. So I'm bringing all this stuff up, and what is the point here, Kevin? Why are you just rambling on about all this stuff all day long? Because that's what I do, folks. I ramble. I'm a rambling guy, R-E-M-B-L-E, rambling guy. The main point I think that I need to make here is that sometimes we need to take a step back, get some perspective, understand that what they tell us we should believe or how we should believe or what we should believe or what we think is not always necessarily the reality of the situation. And I think Tucker was saying this the other evening, actually yesterday, possibly the day before, in talking about the reality of things. Or actually, no, it was Matt Walsh on his show was talking about how they want to redefine what reality is. He was doing a speech in front of a group of people the other night. And it was very good. It was a good speech. He's talking about how, if someone sees me standing on the stage, they will say he is standing on the stage. Now, whether or not the person on the stage wants to be identified as someone who is standing on a stage, maybe they want to be identified as someone who is not standing on the stage, or they don't want to be defined by he or she standing on the stage, they will say they want to be identified as they are standing on the stage, but that would be grammatically incorrect because, they want to change the language. Well, they and them is plural. So the reality, they want to change literally. They want to change reality. They want to change our words. Now, words do change over time. Typically, we have a tendency to, the word cool became a word not just for something that was, temperature related, but it became something that was acceptable or defined as how would you define it? Groovy, I guess, which, there again, that's another word, or neat. It's okay. I'm okay with that. It's cool. That kind of thing. So words have a tendency to morph and to change, and we use certain things. That's really dope. So stuff like that. That's societal changes in words. That's not, it's a natural progression of words. Whereas what they're trying to get us to today is they're redefining the words are changing the absolute meaning of words. And from the top down, not from societal grassroots change, but from the top down, they want to redefine things. Because, you know, math is racist. Words are racist. Proper English is racist. It's getting to the point now where you practically can't understand people who are speaking English in this country sometimes. It's like, you know, have some dignity for yourself. Just speak properly so that people can understand what you're saying. Be articulate to some degree, at least to some degree. I mean, I'm not the most articulate person in the world, but it's like, please. I'm trying to communicate with you, and we're trying to do it, you know, have a business deal going on here, and I'm trying to help you, and you're making it really hard to understand what you're saying, and you don't do what you say you're going to do, and it's just ridiculous. But I digress. As we take a step back and we realize that sometimes what they want to call reality is not necessarily reality. They want us to live in their reality because that's the kind of narcissists we're dealing with here. And if you don't agree to it, then you're the bad guy or girl or whatever. So I digress. Once again, I digress. I digress a lot. My milk is empty. I have no more milk left. Down to my last little slurp. Which is good. It's good. It's good stuff. But it's cooled off. So here we are, wondering what in the world we're going to do now. My bumper music's coming in. But I just want to say, first of all, thank you for all those who've listened to the show over the years, last couple of years. And there's obviously a fairly solid group of followers. And probably because it's all, you know, like people from the Misinformation Governance Board, they're all listening probably. God bless everybody. Have a great weekend. Take care. Have a great evening.